Okay, we're going to start the message. And this morning I would like to speak about the words of Jesus to the disciple Peter after his resurrection, which were, the words were, "Do you love me?" The Lord had forgiven Peter after Peter sincerely repented, but the lesson follows. We know that Jesus was not being harsh with Peter, because when an angel appeared to Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary the mother of James and Salome on resurrection morning, he told them to tell the disciples and Peter that he would meet them in Galilee. The Lord was intent on restoring Peter. He is a God of restoration. This morning, Jesus is asking us the same question, that is, do you love me? Do you love me more than family? Do you love me more than your possessions? Do you love me more than your distractions? Do you love me enough to be seriously committed to me? Do you love me enough to put me first in your life? Do you love me enough to be consecrated to me? What does consecration mean? Consecrated is defined as to be dedicated to the Lord and to serving him. So do we love the Lord enough to be consecrated to him? Do you love me enough to want to be like me and serving me? Do you love me enough to be like me and to be imitating me in your life? A few weeks ago, we spoke about wanting to be like Jesus. Do we love him enough that we want to be like him? Do you love me enough to want to be filled and refilled with my spirit? What about Jesus' conversation with Peter? If you could turn to John chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 15 to 17. John chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 15 to 17. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to them, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to them the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed or tend my sheep." When the Lord addressed Peter, he referred to him as Simon, son of John. In this discussion, Jesus may have been trying to tell Peter not to esteem himself to be better than the other disciples. In other words, hey, you're totally human. You're not better than anybody else. You're son of John. You're human. We'll get into why Jesus was trying to get this thought through to Peter. Mark chapter 14, verses 27 and 29. Jesus said unto them, "All you shall be offended because of me this night." But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will I not. Matthew 26:33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. See, Peter had himself pretty high up there. God was trying to tell him, you're human. Luke 22:33. And he, Peter, said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both into prison and to death. In other words, they may be offended, but not me. In John 21, the Lord asked Peter, do you love me more than these? In other words, do you love me more than the other disciples love me? In this question, the word that Jesus used for love was agapeo, and is defined as ardent, supreme, perfect love. Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But in his response, the word that Peter used for love was phileo. That is defined as to be fond of, to feel friendship with another. It wasn't agapeo love, which is defined as ardent, supreme, perfect love. There was a difference. There was no more boasting in Peter's answers either. Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. Lambs refer to young converts who need special attention. Jesus would and did entrust young converts to Peter. In this conversation, Jesus was restoring Peter's spiritual condition. And this is a theme you could see throughout the Bible. God is a God of restoration. From Genesis right to Revelation, it's just a wonderful quality of God. He is a God of restoration of any condition. Nothing is beyond him. In the second question to Peter, Jesus again uses the word agapeo. In his second response, Peter used phileo. After Peter's second response, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, Jesus said, feed my sheep. It's a difference. First he said, feed my lambs. Now he's saying, feed my sheep. Sheep refers to mature believers. Jesus did entrust mature believers to Peter. This becomes obvious when you read the letters recorded in the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Peter, written by the disciple Peter. Jesus asked Peter a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? This time, Jesus used the word phileo. Jesus was driving home the lesson to Peter of not boasting, not thinking that he loved the Lord more than others or feeling that he was better than others. Peter had denied the Lord three times, and Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? We cannot boast about any of our accomplishments in the secular world or in the spiritual realm. In whatever way the Lord chooses to use us, the ability or the gift is from him. And if he didn't give the gift, we couldn't function in that capacity. So we can't become proud. All our abilities are from God. And if he didn't give them, we wouldn't have that certain ability. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 to 31, I'll read to you, going along with the ability coming from God, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glories, let him glory in the Lord, because the ability is from the Lord. We know that Peter did love Jesus, and at the time of his death, which was believed to be by crucifixion, he requested to be crucified head down, because Peter did not feel worthy to be crucified like Jesus. Do you love me? Okay, let's dig into this question. The question to us this morning is, let's make this relevant to ourselves. Do you love me? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 states, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might." I want to repeat that. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. "And he answering said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind." How much do we love the Lord? Do we love him with an agapeo love or a phileo love? Again, agapeo love is an ardent, supreme, perfect love. This is the love we want to have for the Lord. An ardent, supreme, perfect love. Phileo love is defined as to be fond of, to feel friendship with another. I think we want the agapeo love for God, which is ardent, supreme, perfect love. Do we love him more than family? Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, the words of Jesus. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Do we love the Lord more than our possessions? This is an important one. God gave us, he blessed us with all that we have and all that we own, but we cannot put our possessions, our home, before him. God blesses us, he loves us, but let's be fair to God. If he's going to bless us with that stuff, don't put it before him, because it's like a slap in the face to him. He blesses us, and then we put it before God. Oh, it's more important. No, it's not. Nothing is more important to God. We cannot put our possessions before him. Do we love Jesus enough to put him first in our lives? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, the words of God to Moses when Mount Sinai was shaken because God was there. "You shall have no other gods before me." God has to be first. Anything that comes between us and God is an idol. That includes family members too. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. "Little children, guard yourself from idols." Is Jesus our top priority this morning, or do we have an idol? Do you love the Lord enough to be genuinely committed to him? Jesus was committed to coming to earth and suffering and dying a brutal death for our salvation. He was committed to. He knew what he was in for when he left heaven, and he still came. He was committed to us. Are we going to be committed to him? If he could be committed to considering, if he could be committed to us, considering our sinful nature, we should be committed to him. How committed are we to the Lord? Do we give God the priority to our commitment to the Lord? Does that commitment to the Lord get a priority in our life? At what level is the strength, the bond, the love of our commitment to him? At what level is it? That bond, that commitment to God, will always get stronger. How much importance and effort do we give to keeping and strengthening that commitment? How much importance and effort do we give to keeping and strengthening that commitment? Do you love Jesus more than your distractions? Do we prioritize time with Jesus, or do we prioritize time for our distractions? What could be our distractions? Let's dig into it. Okay? Time for some type of enjoyment and pleasure when we should be giving time to the Lord. That's a distraction. Another distraction. Time for activity with electronic devices, smartphones, television, spending time on the computer. It's not bad. I mean, here's mine. It's not bad, but it cannot be a distraction from God. Time for a hobby, when we should be spending time with the Lord. Sports could be a distraction if it takes away time that should be given to God. These activities aren't bad, but they cannot become a distraction from the Lord or time that should be given to Him. Criticisms and judgments could be a distraction. We could be watching someone's walk with the Lord, making judgments, and not giving due diligence to our own walk with the Lord. That's a distraction. Watching someone else and criticizing them and not giving due diligence to our own walk with the Lord. That question always comes up. Is your heart right with God? Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, work out your own salvation, your own. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, Jesus spoke about the cares of this world. Well, that's a big one. The cares of this world cannot become a distraction. Cannot. Because that's not treating the Lord right. Do we love the Lord more than our jobs? We sing to Him, have you any room for Jesus? Do we love Jesus more than our distractions? Do we love the Lord enough to not be a lukewarm Christian? In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said that the church of the Laodiceans was lukewarm. They had a superficial faith. Have we been serving Jesus the way we should be serving Him? Or do our priorities need to be adjusted? We hear this a lot, but we have to take stock, inventory of ourselves. Do our priorities need to be adjusted? Is Jesus our top priority? This church of the Laodiceans was caught up in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that Jesus spoke about. They were caught up in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches that Jesus spoke about. Have the cares of this world choked out the time and effort that we should be giving to the Lord? Do we love Jesus enough so that we place our priorities, our love, our service to Him, rather than having a lukewarm Christianity with a superficial faith? Do we love Jesus to the point that we always want to spend time with Him, wanting more of Him in our lives? When a couple is dating and they're serious about the relationship and really falling in love, which is a beautiful thing, they want to spend more and more time with each other. Do we love the Lord so much that we always want to be with Him and spend even more time with Him? Do we actively and with all our hearts seek more and more of him into our lives? How much diligence do we give to seeking more and more of the Lord in our life? Or do we plateau? Say, oh, I go to church, I serve the Lord. We can never plateau in the ways of the Lord. We always have to seek more of him. Do we love Jesus to the point that we are always hungry and thirsty for more of him? If Jesus loves us so much that he misses spending time with us, what should our reaction to him be? Do we love him enough that we want to become like him, as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, wanting to become like Jesus? Do we love Jesus enough that we want to be like him and that we want to be filled or refilled with him? Do we love the Lord to the point of giving him the best of everything in our lives? Think of how Mary of Bethany gave Jesus her best. She anointed him with costly, pure spikenard. See, she gave Jesus the best. She gave pure spikenard. She anointed Jesus with pure spikenard. Are we giving Jesus our best? Unadulterated, pure love? We want to give Jesus the best, the strongest commitment we could ever make to him, making him the top priority in our lives, giving him the best of our abilities, and giving him the best of our lives, because he certainly deserves it. We want to anoint him with the best of our love. This morning, can we hear Jesus asking, "Do you love me just because of who I am and all that I mean to you?" Some people may have to wait for Jesus to keep giving them things before they're really going to love him. Jesus gave more than enough at Calvary when he saved our lives. Do we love him just because of who he is and all that he means in our lives? He is the only one who willingly suffered and died for our eternal salvation from hell when he didn't have to. His love for us is beyond measure and beyond comprehension. If we try to describe who Jesus is and his impact in our lives, all our words would be insufficient. He is truly beyond any word in any dictionary in any language. He remains undefined and indescribable. We should genuinely want to be filled and refilled with him. This morning, Jesus is asking us, "Do you love me, and how much do you love me?" So we're going to stop there. We're going to get down to pray. If someone would like to conclude the message with the prayer, and then we'll sing the last hymn.